Well, you just heard two wonderful songs, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder and Prepare to Meet Thy God. What do you think the lesson is going to be on? You know, this morning in the lesson, I was doing something that Daniel Boone once did. They asked Daniel Boone one time if he'd ever been lost. And he said, I've never been lost, but I have been a mite bewildered. And I tell you, when I get my mind on a book and a page and I say, this is Romans chapter 6, but it's chapter 7. And I'm reading verse 11, 14, and 18, but it's the wrong book chapter. But I'm stubborn. But I knew them anyway, didn't I? I just had to use the brain. And we need to use our brains when it comes to whether or not we're going to be there when the roll is called up yonder. Whether or not we are going to prepare ourselves to meet thy God, and we need to do that. We need to be prepared. And when I tonight's lesson, I pray, is going to be simple. When you think about or you hear the term classes, you know, classes, what comes to your mind? Do you think about your schooling days and being in a classroom with a teacher and other students and different classes that you go to? Or maybe you think of graduating class. My graduating class was 1972. Or maybe you think about the classes of people, the upper class, the lower class, the middle class. What do you think of when you think of classes? I mean, there's all kinds of different things, isn't there? But what do you think about when you think of the classes of people that are found in the Bible? What comes to mind? Are you possibly thinking about the difference between the common old fishermen like Peter and those Pharisees, those rulers of the time? Or maybe as you're looking at this, you might think, well, what about the Jews and the Gentiles? There's two obvious classes right there of people. And not only that, but you had kings over nations and you had the common people. What kind of classes do you think about? Obvious class would be the sinner and the saint. And then again, God and man. And the saved and the unsaved. You know, I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 25. And we want to read a few verses here, starting in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, and I'm going to make sure that I'm on chapter 25. Yep. Verse 31, yeah, I got it. We're good to go here. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. And as we read this, I want you to be thinking in your mind, how many classes of people does Jesus talk about here? All right, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered together before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. And verse 41, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, did not visit me? And then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We praise God for those words because they're so powerful and they remind us of the brevity and the gravity of our souls, our salvation. So what do you think there as you read those? How many classes of people are there in the judgment? And don't be too quick because I'm going to throw a little bit of a loop in there. But before we do that, I want to talk to you, first of all, that there are, I propose, three classes. We always think of the goats and the sheep, right? We think of the saved and the lost as the two classes in the judgment. But before we get to that, I'd like to at least make something very clear. The people that we're going to be talking about are either saved or unsaved. That's the two that we read about here in Matthew. And as we study this, I believe that you'll see that amongst the one side, those that are on his left are going to be two classes of people. And so that'll give us three classes at the judgment. And as we study, as we look into these and understand that they are not in any particular order when we look at these two or three classes, that is to say that there isn't one of them that's more important than the other. It's not like the lower class, the middle class, the upper class. It's not like the fishermen and the scribes and the Pharisees. It's not even like God and man. There is no variation between the value of every one of those souls in those groups. For we know, for one thing, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God wants all of us. He not only wants all of us, but he wants all of those out here and all of those over there, all of those in the entire world. God wants every soul. Timothy, God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. In other words, he wants all of us. Again, you see the theme there? God, you're important to God. We know that from the third verse, which makes things very clear that God so loved the world. He's not talking about an individual class. He's not talking about just those who will accept him. He's not talking about those who won't accept him. He's talking about the world. And he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants all of the world. And to finalize that, how important are you to God? How important are you? You look around this world and you see all the magnificent things, the mountains, the sun, the moon, the stars, all those things that declare the glory of God. What are they in comparison to you when it comes to God? Psalm 8, 3 and 4 says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you ordained, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Don't be confused about that term, the Son of Man. We're not talking about Jesus here. It's just another way to talk about man, the genealogy of man from Adam to you today. That's how valuable you are. You're more valuable than all of creation, everything that declares his glory. He loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine. And he wants you. And I want you to keep these truths in mind as we talk about these three different classes. And so let's look at those. The first class are those the Lord never knew. They're people that the Lord never knew. And I want you to think about this. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23, through 21 and 23. And we'll read here. Matthew 21, or 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to you, or declare to them, I never knew you. Let me reread that. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now think about this one. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21, powerful truth is there. And there it may be who, the truth is that there will be many on the day of judgment that have believed all their lives that they're right with God. Equally powerful is the fact that they, based upon their trust in the things that they have done in this world in the name of Jesus, will fail them. And powerfully tragic is that they will be told, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Why? Why is this going to happen? The answer is pretty simple, because they themselves didn't know the Lord. Now, listen, God knows every soul on the earth. He knows the number of hairs on your head, whether you accept him or not. It doesn't matter. He knows you. And we're not talking about that kind of knowledge. We're talking about the relationship. They didn't know the Lord. How is that possible? Talk to me, preacher. They obviously went to church. They did things in the name of the Lord. They must have known the scriptures because they did certain things. Come on, preacher. How is that possible they didn't know the Lord? Well, I tell you, they did know parts and pieces about the Lord. But what they didn't know was the whole counsel of God. They didn't know the whole counsel of God. As Paul said, I declare to you, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. They didn't know that. They're like the majority of this world that we live in today. Religiously, they know this, and another group knows that, and another group knows that, but they don't know the whole book. How is that possible? The reason is very simple. Because they're taught by their priests. They're taught by their pastors. They're taught by their Sunday school teachers. They're taught by their parents. Bits and pieces. And as a result, Paul is not guilty. Because he's declared the entire counsel. It's there. It's prepared for us. But the problem is they weren't diligent in keeping the commands of God. And if they don't know the commands of God, how can they keep the commands of God? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They didn't do that. Because if they did that and they obeyed the will of God, they never would have heard those words, I don't know you. And that puts them in a class all themselves. They're still going to be on that left side in the judgment, but that's the class. So even though they, you know, modern day evangelists today, even today, modern day evangelists will claim that they have prophecy. They can predict things in the future. They do that because they didn't read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Right? Prophecies will fail when that which is perfect comes. They didn't read that, or they don't believe it. Many still today claim that they can cast out demons and devils, but they don't know the scripture. The Bible teaches that Jesus bound the strong man. That would be Satan. Jesus said he casts out the devils by the Spirit of God. That's Jesus and the devils and the and all of his. And he compares the binding of the strong man so as he could plunder his goods. And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 through 29. The devil and his are bound. Consider Peter. Okay, think about this. Peter chapter 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 4. And the apostle he writes, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned but cast them down to hell," and that word hell is actually the word Tartarus. Okay? "He delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for the judgment." And so people today, they make these claims, but they don't understand. They don't know God, and therefore God does not know them. And of course, we can't forget 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 12, which teaches us that the miraculous abilities, all those signs, wonders, and miracles, they ceased when the perfect word of God came. And people, they don't know that. The fact is that no matter how many things you do, right or wrong, in the name of Jesus, if you don't know God's will, you can't practice God's will. And then if you're in that position, then assuredly, I can say to you that the Lord will say to you, "Depart from me, never knew you." All right, so Jesus is making it clear for everyone. Undoubtedly, there will be some of those who on that day will claim that they know him, but he doesn't know them. They've done many wonderful works in his name, but he says, "I never knew you." That's a class of people. These are people the Lord never knew. Are you in that class of people? You know, you can change that right now today. The songs that we sang, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder," powerful messages. "Prepare to Meet Thy God," powerful message. You can do that today. There's still time as long as you can breathe. It's not too late. Well, let's look at the next class of people, and that is, as we think about this, those the Lord once knew. Let's let that sink in for a second. We're talking about people the Lord once knew. We look at Luke chapter 13, verses 24 through 28. Luke 13, 24 through 28. Now, I want you to think about this as we read it. 24, "This is Jesus, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us.' And he will answer and say to you, 'I don't know you. Where you are from,' then you will begin to say, 'We ate with you and drank,' or 'We ate and drank in your presence and taught in your streets.' And you taught in our streets," rather. Verse 27, "But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.'" Verse 28, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." If you look at that and you understand what's happening here, you got to be able to get this picture. What is the Lord teaching? Jesus is showing us that there will be a judgment, and those that once knew the Lord will not be a part of the salvation side of judgment. As you look at this, look at the words in verse 25. "They began to stand outside the door and knock." They were knocking because they knew he was in there. They're calling him, "Lord, Lord, open for us." And then in verse 26, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. These people knew the Lord. And you taught in our streets. So here's a class of people that knew the Lord. They knew the righteousness. They heard the teaching. But they were going to be locked out. They were going to be locked out. You know, it'll be like those disciples who in John chapter 6 and in verse 22 through 66, and we're not going to read that whole thing, but turn to John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6 is where Jesus, he's gone out and he's fed the thousands with the bread, and they're so excited, and they just chasing after him all over the place. They want more. They want to be fed more and more bread. And the sad part is they're not getting the picture. But in chapter 6, verse 22, you know, you read this here, and it says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone, and now they're chasing after Jesus. They want to find this Jesus. They ate the bread that Jesus provided, and then they went looking for Jesus, whom they knew. In verse 26, Jesus answers and says to these people as they come, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus tells them who knew him to labor for food that is everlasting. Verses 30 through 31, they want to see another sign, of course, and Jesus from Jesus whom they knew. And then you look to verse 32 and verse 33, and we see that Jesus is telling them that he's the true bread that comes down from the Father in heaven that gives eternal life, and he's speaking to them, which means he knew them. And then you go to verse 34, and they said, Lord, give us this bread. They knew him, he knew them. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Did they know Jesus? Absolutely. In verse 36, Jesus says very clearly, I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And there's the problem. They knew the Lord once. They knew the Lord. Verse 41 through 60, all you hear, you just read about that, grumbling, complaining, quarreling, disputing about Jesus and presuming that he has an earthly father in Joseph. How can he say he's come down from heaven? Therefore, he can't be from above. Verse 61 through 66, Jesus begins by saying, does this offend you? In verse 63, he says, the spirit gives life and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are life. Jesus told them, they heard him, they knew him. But in verse 64 through 66, they didn't believe him. In verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples walked away and they went back and walked with him no more. You see, they knew him. They were fed by him. They saw the miracles by him. They chased after him. It's obvious they had this connection that in their minds, a relationship. And they once knew him. But then they walked away. Jesus offered them an invitation, the same as he did everybody else in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavily laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. You all know that here today. You know it because we've said it. You know it because you've been here before. You know the truth. Let the truth make you free. Don't be one of those people who didn't know the Lord. You can't say you didn't know Him. And you can't say He doesn't know me. And here you can't say that don't be one who says I once knew Him. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verses 15 through 24. Luke chapter 14, just a few pages over. This is the parable of the great supper. It's an amazing thing to read as Jesus, and remember that Jesus is teaching a spiritual lesson in every one of these. But here's this great supper. And in verses 16 and 17, we have this problem, and that is that they've been invited. Verses 18 through 20, they've made many excuses. You remember that as you look at this, people, they made excuses. One man says, I bought some ground, I got property, I have to go and I have to see it. And he says, ask to have me excused. Another man says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go test them, have me excused. Another man says, I've married a wife, I can't go. I guess you know who's in charge of that marriage. Think about this. They all knew the Master. And one of these days, one day they were going to all be sorry, for the Master will say to them, I knew you. You knew me. But you turned away from me. You refused the invitation. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 27, think about what Jesus taught. He taught a good, powerful thing. When he said, I tell you, no, Luke chapter 13, verse 27, he says, I tell you, I do not know you. You were fallen. These people had the great opportunity. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And in this chapter 14, verse 24, I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. They refused the invitation. Are you here tonight? Have you heard the invitation before? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Can you confess Jesus as the Son of God tonight? You've heard the word. Can you do that? The invitation is open. Are you going to refuse the invitation again and again? There's going to be a time when the Master is going to close off the doors and say, it's too late. And we don't know when that time will be. The third, as we look at this, are the faithful children of God. In the text that we read moments ago in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 36, and we're not going to read that again, but in the judgment scene, when the Son of Man will come and judge the nations, these are the faithful children of God that we read about. On the right hand, He calls them the sheep in verse 33a. They're the people that knew God, obeyed God, and will be accepted by God into the kingdom that will be delivered up to Him when Jesus returns. The sheep are the people. They were the ones who are faithful children of God. They're the ones that did everything that Jesus ever asked them. They're the ones that knew the will of God and they obeyed that from the heart. And they didn't make excuses. Well, I've got a wife. I've got 5 yoke of oxen. I've got land out there. I've got to go look at it. Right? I've got baggage. I've got history. I've got reasons. There are no reasons. There's no reasons that you could possibly have to not accept the invitation. He says to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." Think of that. "Come, blessed of my Father," verse 34. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I want you to be thinking right now, what class are you in? Do you know the will of God, but you're unwilling to obey it? Maybe you're those who once knew the Lord. Or maybe you're not really sure. And right now, that's okay because you still have breath. Right now, you can sit down with us. We'll study with you and we'll be able to make things clear. So you won't stand before Him one day and He'll say, "I never knew you. You who work lawlessness." What is it that you want to hear from Jesus on the day of judgment? When the roll is called up yonder, prepare to meet thy God. What is it you want to hear from Jesus? Because, listen to me, it's in your hand. It's in your control. You're the one that makes the choices. You know, I just preach these words, right or wrong. I pray they're all right, but whether you choose to follow or not is all entirely up to you. Nobody can force you. Nobody's twisting your arm. It's entirely in your court. It's in your hand. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when the roll is called up yonder? Have you prepared to meet thy God? What is it you want to hear Jesus say when you meet Him face to face? And you will. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There's only one name under heaven and earth where men can be saved: Jesus. What is it you expect Him to say? Jesus is not a puppet. You can't make Him say, but He's already told you what He's going to say. He's either going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or, "Go away, I never knew you." Which one do you want to hear when that day comes? And it will come. Matthew 25:23, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's what I want to hear. I want to be one of those men who received talents from the Lord and worked in the kingdom. When I stand face to face with the Lord, that's what I want to hear. And as long as I have breath, I have some control over that. As long as I can stand up, think, talk, read, study, share Jesus, those are the words I want to hear. And I'm going to work and work and work, because the time is coming when I won't be able to work. What do you want to hear come out of the mouth of Jesus when you stand in front of Him on that great and awesome day? Now, of the three classes, there's only one that's going to hear those words. Those are the faithful. The other two classes, stage left. "Go away from me. I never knew you. Workers of iniquity." And it isn't just going away. It's not just going away, but going away into everlasting punishment. Separated from God. What do you want to hear on that day? It's entirely up to you. You can put yourself in any one of those three categories. You can be a person that the Lord never knew, you never knew Him truthfully, and you can sit on your laurels and pretend that everything's going to be okay, and it won't be. You can be one of those who once knew the Lord and turned your back because His way is too hard. The result's going to be the same. Or you can be a faithful child of God. You can start that right now. You can do that now. You can obey the gospel tonight. You can believe and be baptized, have your sins washed away, be added to the body of Christ. You can do that now as we stand and as we sing.